Well, good morning again. Good. Good to see you all. Happy to be here. Happy that you're here. We've been talking for the last few weeks about spiritual senses and this whole idea that we are in a body, and guess what gets most attention in our life? How many hair products are there, girls? How many hair products are there, guys? One. All the guys are like, one. How many soaps are there? One. It's in the hair thing, right? You guys ever seen the, women, you got the conditioner for the second half of February with fruit overtones, and then the special shampoo for March, and then, that's a summer lavender-ish conditioner thing. And then there's like these special rinses. And the guys were like, conditioner, soap, shampoo, car wash, dog cleaner. Yep, it's all in one bottle. Yep, it's all we need. Pronounce Gojo. Gojo, exactly. It works. Well, honey, you don't even have a wash rag in there. I got my shirt, right? So what gets most of the attention? Well, our bodies get lots of the attention. But your spirit, soul, and body, and sometimes our soul gets all of the attention. And it needs some attention. We need to think clearly. We need to handle our emotions well. That's all part of our soul realm. But so often we just concentrate on feeding. You know what? When your soul whines, we tend to listen, right? When we get pouty about something in our soul, we want something, we want to be coddled, whatever, in some way, emotionally or intellectually, and we feed that. And guess what gets neglected? Our spirit. Our spirit gets neglected. Because, right, I spent 43 hours cooking meals this week and delicacies and gourmet coffees and primping my hair and my nails, right? And then I spent an hour at church. Well, half hour, And that's how much we give to our spirit. So our spirits are weak and emaciated. And yet, in order to mature, our hinge verse, we've put it up there so many times, I actually took it off of there. I didn't put it up there. But it's the verse in Hebrews 5 that talks about solid foods for the mature who by constant use, say constant, constant use, over and over and over and over again, we've trained our senses for maturity, to be holy, to walk with God. And so that's what we're talking about. We've talked about sense of taste, talked about sense of touch, kind of sensing God's presence and his nudges in our life. So the taste was what was the last 2 weeks. We're talking about cravings, and Stephen alluded to it. I got one slide from last week, Steve. So we're going to put that up there, maybe. Oh, hold on. I didn't put the thing in the thing. There we go. Exactly. There we go. So these were kind of our 3 points last time. If I want to develop my cravings, see, we read all these verses about how the wicked crave evil and the wicked crave this thing, the wicked's cravings, he boasts about them, all these different verses about the cravings of the evil person, cravings of the wicked. And the Bible tells us as Christ followers to crave pure milk, to crave spiritual milk, to crave spiritual things. And so how do we... We said this, hunger is natural. You don't get to decide if you're hungry or not. Everyone ever been hungry at an inappropriate time? Anyone's stomach ever really growl really loud when it shouldn't have? Right? We don't get to decide when we get hungry, but we do get to decide what our cravings are. You can change your cravings. You can manipulate your cravings. So we had some fun talking about what the girls crave when they were pregnant. What the girls crave when they're pregnant. Morgan. Just sugar? Just sugar. Okay, so pretty much nothing's changed. Okay, all right. All right. So, and these were kind of the points. How do I change my craving? How do I crave for the things of God? And so we just said real quick, if you got sin, if you got blatant sin in your life, we all have something that needs to be weeded out. But if we're just practicing sin, if we're trying to hide something, if there's part of our life that just is out of alignment with the Word of God and it is just clearly against the Word of God, we're not going to hunger for spiritual things, right? because we're not in alignment with the Word of God. So easy step, not easy step, but a common sense step. Get sin out of your life. Number two, change your diet. And so that's what Stephen was talking about. That's the one that Stephen was talking about this morning, is the church is full. We don't crave things because we're already full. We're already full of TV and news and fun and pleasure and vacationing, and all those can be great things in proportion. If you're here when we very first started this series, we've said it a couple times, it's to try to get all of this, we'll actually have a slide coming up with that, but to get our body, soul, and spirit working in the proper order, the way that they're supposed to, with the one leading and the others following. Our spirit is meant to lead. And so we can get so full of other things that we're not spiritually hungry. And I think that happens so often in America. When one of the common things that you hear all the time from missionaries, from preachers that go overseas, is that there's such a hunger. There's such a spiritual hunger. Well, there's nothing to fill them up. There's no entertainment. There's no excess of things. And so they're hungry, sometimes physically, but certainly spiritually. And so people will walk through lion-infested wilderness and stand 7 hours to hear a preacher that's going to preach for 2 hours that night. And when Ray and Wilmer, you guys remember Ray and Wilma Phipps? They come here every year. They haven't been here this year because of COVID stuff. But when they're in India, when they first started going, they were kind of shocked because, he had his hour message or whatever. And they said, we expect you to preach for 4 hours and then we'll take a dinner break and then you preach for four more and then we'll have a service tonight. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I better dig out some more material then. And this is just so common that they just, no, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. If you've ever been, anyone ever been to Mexico on any of our missions trips or services down there? And it's just not uncommon for 3, 4, 5 hour services down there. They're just hungry because they're not full. And in America, it's really easy to fit God in where we want to fit God because I have everything else I need. So God, I'm going to pencil you in for next Sunday, maybe 3 to 4:30-ish. But we're just going to pencil you in instead of living our lives in desperation for the things of God. And that's just, it's a product of our culture. It's a product of where we live. And the last thing, if we want to develop a spiritual appetite, get around people that are hungry for God. There's nothing that can stir your heart for the things of God like hearing testimonies about the things of God. Go to conferences, read a new book, listen to new podcasts or services. You have so much available for you. And don't listen to it as a consumer. Here, let me challenge you with that. Here's how sometimes we listen to, and you guys may do it to me. You're just very kind. So thank you for not showing me that you're doing this. But here's what we do, and I've done it. You've done it. We'll put on, oh, you should listen to so-and-so. Listen to this message. And so we'll pull it up on our computers or on our phones and we'll listen to it and we'll get done and be like, that was pretty good. And then we go into critique mode. And if we really liked it, we're like, yeah, that kind of whatever. But, I didn't like this so much. Or more often than that, I'm like, no, I didn't like that. Or even more often than that, we're like, no, I'm just going to stop. And so it might even be good, but if I don't like what it's saying. So we listen to things as consumers. Even when we're listening to God things. So my challenge is, on this third point, listen to a new podcast. Listen to a new sermon, a new service. Listen to your pastor. I don't know. As someone who wants to be spiritually hungry and not as a consumer who wants to give a review. Okay. Maybe that didn't sink in. I don't know. I thought that. Stephen, I thought that was good. They didn't. Exactly. So this week, we're talking about seeing and hearing. Seeing and hearing. Here's the slide I told you was coming up. The goal is for our spirit, soul, and body to be operating in the correct proportions. We don't want our soul getting an inordinate amount of attention. Anyone ever been in, don't raise your hands in case you still are, someone who's very emotionally needy. Don't raise your hands. But like, have you ever been the person who's very emotionally needy? I certainly have. Right, honey. Where is she? right? Have you ever been the person that is so consumed with physical, man? You just want adrenaline rush. You just want new food. There's got to be new restaurants, whatever. Those things can be good, but Jesus is saying, we want to adjust so that this infant spirit that is born in us when we're born again gets to grow up, right? Because our spirit life is the eternal life. It's the important life. So we're going to read a couple verses here. Mark chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 is where this is found. And it says this, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, talking about his disciples, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? And here's a theme that you're going to find from Old Testament to New Testament, Genesis to Revelation, is this idea of eyes that see and ears that hear. Seeing eyes and hearing ears. Eyes that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Ears that are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's kind of a metaphor, but it's kind of not. Because here's what I get from this, is that number one, spiritual hearing and spiritual sight should be normal. So I'm going to go back to the verse here. Here's what I found interesting in this verse. Jesus doesn't even call it spiritual seeing. So often when you see sight and hearing in the Bible, you're not going to see hear with your spiritual ears, not your physical. Like, they're not even going to say that. Because what God expects is that our sense of hearing is so in tune and connected that when we hear spiritually and when we see spiritually, that's part of seeing. That's how we're created. That's how we're meant to live. And because of the fall, we have this dead spirit. And so we spend 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 or 70 years developing our physical sight and our physical hearing, and we neglect, if we don't get born again, we don't ever get the opportunity, but when we get born again, then we don't get to develop our spiritual seeing and hearing. And God is saying, that's what's normal, is that when you see, you're not just seeing with your physical eyes, you're seeing with your spiritual eyes. When you hear, you're not just hearing with your physical ears, but you're hearing with your spiritual ears. And let me tell you that this can be developed. Wives, you may want to chime in on this. Have you ever known anyone, like your husbands, that maybe have selective hearing? Libby, you don't get to laugh yet. You're still in the 1-year grace period. Just saying. You're laughing for someone else. I get it. You're being generous. Okay. Jesse, I'm with you, man. You got this. Has anyone ever gotten better at hearing? Don't raise your hands because maybe there won't be any, but you can improve at hearing. One of the things that we talk about, we laugh a lot about, is Marnie and I, when we do pre-marriage counseling that we've done with a number of people, we struggle, Marnie and I do, with assuming things. Our communication, we've made a lot of improvements, tons, hundreds of improvements in our marriage. And we're very, very open about our shortcomings and our pitfalls. And the one thing that we always joke about is our communication. Boy, it's pretty bad. So we've gotten better. We've made baby steps, but we've improved. And so one of the things that you're supposed to do, we don't do this always, but you can improve communication by just repeating back what they're saying. So what you're saying, and not in a snotty tone, people. Can you go take out the garbage? So what you're saying is you want me to take out the garbage? That is not what we're saying. We're saying, so if you can reinterpret it, if you can repeat it back and maybe kind of say it. So later on today, honey, can you take out the garbage? And you say, all right, hey, I know you're heading off to work. Man, I hope you have a great day. My plan is, I'm going to go out and change the tire. And then, I'm going to come back in and then, if I understand, you want me to take, I'm going to take out the garbage because that needs to be done today, right? And so you kind of repeat it back. And it's funny when you start doing that. If you've never done that before, I challenge you to do that. You'd be amazed at how wrong both of you are. That's the thing. Everyone thinks the other one's a bad communicator, but I'm not. I'm judging by your chuckles. I'm thinking that you know that. Judging by your lack of chuckles, you're not convinced yet. I promise you that you're going to have one or two in that string of five or six of them that you both are wrong. Well, I heard this. No, I said this. Well, no, I heard this. Because what happens in our head starts to travel down to our mouth, sees a shiny object along the way sometimes, and then finishes part of the sentence. But we know we said it up here, right? And from here to the other person's ears, it's traveling along just fine. It hits our ears and then sees another shiny object. And by the time it gets to the other person's brain, it's like the game of telephone, right? So we add all of this interpretation onto it. And when we're speaking, we have all of this expectation that they're understanding what I'm saying. All of this happens in milliseconds. So you can improve. So this is kind of a soul thing. You can improve your speech, going to a speech therapist. You can improve your speaking and your listening with, you know, with ear exercises and surgeries. You can improve in your soul realm. You can improve your listening by doing some of the things that we were just saying. In the spirit realm, you can improve your listening. So that's what Jesus was saying is, do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? What Jesus was saying is, this is not normal. You should be able to hear more than this and see more than this. And so Matthew chapter 13, we find this. They're asking him, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? He said, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Next verse. For this people's hearts has become calloused, and they hardly hear with their ears, and they have also closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, because they hear. Here's what I take away from this passage. There was a prophecy, a prophetic word that was being fulfilled. So Jesus spoke in these parables, and the reason he spoke in parables is kind of what we were talking about earlier. It's about spiritual hunger. When you speak in parables, those that are truly hungry, it can be an act of mercy. Because if Jesus would just come right out and say these things, then there could be judgment. But he would speak in parables, and then those that were hungry would lean into that and want to pursue. That's why wisdom is always hidden, because there's a responsibility that goes with it. And only those that will pay the price to pursue wisdom get to have wisdom. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of God, is if their hearts are hungry, if they'll pursue me. And so this was to fulfill a prophecy. But here's what I see from this one, is that God moves when we see and hear. When you have eyes that see and ears that hear, he said, if their eyes would see and their ears would hear, then I would turn towards them. I would begin to interact with them. I would begin to move on their life. And this prophecy needs to be fulfilled. So I'm speaking in parables. So number one, it's normal for our eyes to see and hear spiritually, our eyes and ears to see and hear spiritually. But so often they're not. And number two is that when we see spiritually and hear spiritually, there's an interaction with God. So we want to improve our seeing and our hearing. And Hebrews 5, we started off with this verse, it says by constant use. We have to constantly be in the Word, constantly be thinking about spiritual things, constantly be talking about spiritual things. There's that verse in the Bible, Stephen kind of preached on it on one of our Wednesday night deals, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It's this idea of, we're constantly saying and sharing and listening and hearing and looking and learning and constantly giving our spirit an opportunity to grow, to hear, to see, to listen, to develop our appetite for spiritual things. Next verse, Hebrews 11, 24, 25 says this, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. I just have to say, man, what would what would cause a man who could be royalty, who was royalty, and living in a palace, to choose to be mistreated and be a slave? What would cause someone who had access to a palace to choose to identify as a slave? That is incredible to me. We're going to read the next verses. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was what? Looking ahead to his reward. He saw that there was something greater, but he saw that there was something greater. He saw that there was something greater. He was looking ahead. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. And guys, we have to get spiritual eyes. We can't make the choices that we need to make. We can't make the sacrifices that we're called to walk in if we just are walking in our spiritual eyes, or in our natural eyes and natural ears. This next verse in 2 Corinthians 4:18, you guys know this verse. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Number three is seeing the invisible is empowering. Focus on what we can see now is crippling. Everything that you can see now is temporary. Everything that you can hear, everything that you can touch, everything that we interact with these senses is destined to perish. And yet that's what we base our life on. And our call is to see the invisible. Our challenge is to see the, and that just sounds so silly when we say it, but we've seen it over and over in these verses already, and there's many more beyond that, that with the right set of eyes, you can see what is unseen. We can change how we look, and we can change how we listen. There's a verse, I was going to add it to the message, but I was way out of room, but I can't remember where it's at, but it says, be careful then how you listen. Be careful how you listen. And alluding to this fact that we can't just hear physically. Like, there's always more to the story. There's always more that we need to hear. We need to hear what God's saying. Ephesians 1:18 says this. This is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. This is a prayer for believers. This is a prayer for you and for me. This is a prayer for our life. I love when I find prayers, especially in the New Testament, because it's the revealed heart of God. It's often prayers for the church or to the church or about the church or for people in the church. And it's prayers that are in the New Testament after Jesus, okay, walking as a Christ follower. And then you see these prayers, and sometimes it will challenge your assumptions. And Paul is praying, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought as a Christ follower, I've already, see the verse that talks about that the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. He's blinded the eyes of the unbelievers. He's taken away their spiritual sight. He's put blinders on in front of them. And so now that my eyes are, I once was blind, but now I see. Now I see. Amazing grace. I thought I already see. I thought that I already see. And yet Paul is saying, no, there's more. You can, just like husbands, we can improve our listening, and wives. Just like we can improve, Paul is saying there's more. Don't stop short. Don't settle for your assumptions about things. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, might be opened up, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Guys, you're never going to maintain hope with only natural eyes. And I don't know about you, but if you've been outside lately, or if you've watched the news, or if you've been around, our world is in a desperate situation right now. And I'm not just talking about a virus. I'm talking about chaos and humanism and atheism and spirituality that has no root in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about things that probably already were, but didn't seem so bad because we had a great foundation of Christianity here as that's eroding away, you guys know in your fields or your gardens, as erosion happens, you start to see things that are underneath. You start to see the chunks of jagged metal that are buried. And you start to see the rocks that are in the soil. As that Christian foundation is eroding away in America, which is all that I can really speak to, you're starting to see the ugliness of humanity. And if our natural eyes are all that we have to walk with, we're going to really struggle to maintain hope. We're going to really struggle to be full of life. We're going to really struggle to look ahead with anything other than pessimism, because I'm looking at the natural. And we've got to hear what God is saying, and we've got to see what God is doing as a church and as Christ followers if we want to maintain hope and if we want to have an answer for our lost world. So here's, I was talking with Stephen about this on Friday. Here's the problem with sight and hearing, with those two spiritual senses. It's that we take in so much information in our world. We take in so much information through seeing and through hearing. Think about it. News, what is that? Seeing and hearing. What you hear at work, hearing. What you see on the street when you're driving, seeing, right? Like, it's just, you're constantly inundated. And we've got more information coming at us, more available, more readily, more constant bombardment with stuff, with just things, with bits of information. And we have all of this information and we have so very little truth. And there might even be accurate facts, but it's not the complete truth. And so I made this little slide. The problem with getting our information just carnally, just from our flesh, just with physical seeing, because here's what we do, guys. We get saved and then we never develop our spirits. And so we walk through life and I'm getting all of my information from the world. Well, Johnny says he's got cancer now. Oh, okay, all right. And I see on the news this happened. Oh, that place is on fire. All right, oh, this place is closing tonight, right? And we just get all of this sight and sound coming in. And it's how we live. It's how we walk and navigate life. And if we never develop our spirit, we're constantly in this deficit of just trying to read God's word. I don't know. I just read God's word and I just struggle. I don't even see anything. We're just in this panic because we've taken 99% of our information through physical means. And then we're trying to process that physically, mentally, with our soul. And then expect God to move in the middle of all that. Do you see the problem? Do you see why that we would struggle with that? I don't know, I'm trying hard to paint this picture of how there's such a lopsidedness and how it's a big hurdle for us to get over to work on our spiritual sight and our spiritual hearing because we're so used to doing things physically. So here's some problems with carnal information. Husbands and wives, misunderstanding. Children, parents, right? People in general, okay? One of the problems is that you said A, but I heard B. And that happens all the time from well-meaning people in well-meaning situations. So if I don't have spiritual ears, if I don't hear from God, if I don't see with spiritual eyes, then at the very least, there's going to be misunderstandings. So I'm expected to make all these life decisions and grow spiritually and walk with God. And we wonder why our spiritual lives are kind of hamstrung, why we can't make any progress. Well, this is part of the reason why. Because we're getting this information through our physical ears and eyes. Here's another thing that happens. Have you guys ever gotten riled up about a situation and then you found out afterwards that you only had part of the facts? Or have you guys ever gotten excited about something and found out later that you weren't told the whole story? Hey, Junior, did you clean your room? I did. And then you go look. All right, technically, taking everything in the room and shoving it into the closet, that's not quite what I was asking for. Like, we got part of the facts. And so often, we're getting part, like they're not wrong. These facts are accurate, but it's not the whole story. It's not all of the facts about a situation. And I feel that's very frustrating. Stephen and I have talked about that before. It's frustrating to have to make decisions when you're convinced that you don't have all the facts. Here's another one. Getting only one point of view. It might be an accurate point of view. It might be they could put them on a lie detector and they would pass with flying colors, but it's still one point of view, right? And so we're talking about pitfalls with getting information through physical ears and physical eyes only, right? We're getting one point of view. And there's always more points of view that are valid. And here's one that's really interesting. Bad perspectives is going to give you a bad interpretation. So wherever you're getting your information, you're about the world around us, about what's going on, about how I should live my life, about what's important, about what my values should be, how I'm getting that information, if the person giving me that information or the group or the book or the entity or the video or you know, the people, if their perspective is off or jaded or cynical or wrong in some way, then how they're interpreting life and making their decisions to help me out will also be bad. I know we're kind of rushing through these, and I just wanted to give you some very simple, just like, guys, if that's all we're receiving, last one is you could just be getting told lies. Anyone ever just found out later that you just didn't get the truth at all? Like that just didn't even happen that way. And yet we're supposed to consume this input, this information, and figure out what to do with life, and figure out this walk with God, and figure out my spiritual life, and figure out my family, figure out how to raise children, and figure out how to do my job well, and figure out how to play well and have time off. And all I'm taking in is sight and hearing from the natural realm. It's going to be very confusing for me. I'm going to do a fun little comparison between walking. How many of you know that the Bible says to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh? Okay, this isn't exactly the kind of flesh that's talking about. One version of flesh in the Bible means your sin nature. That's not what we're talking about here. We're just talking about the natural man. It also uses the word flesh. It's a disservice to us in our English because they mean completely different things. It means just in our natural senses, okay? So living according to the flesh. Let me walk through. See if you recognize some of these steps that happen in our life. Here's how we go through and make decisions in life. All right, number one, what we see and hear informs us, okay? Constantly. You are constantly bombarded and inundated with information, with opinions, with sights, with sounds, with just visual information as you live your life, as you watch your TV, as you're on the computer, as you're just walking through the streets, you're hearing things and you're seeing things. So what we see hears, what we see and hear, it informs us. We get all of this input, okay? So what we see and hear informs us, then our emotions react to that. Anyone ever heard something and you had a big emotional reaction? Nobody? Okay. Moving right along. This is a normal process for us. We see and hear things. Oh, that makes me so mad. Oh, I'm so sad about that. Oh, I'm excited about that. And we have this input from our ears and our eyes. Okay, all of this information comes in. Our emotions react, okay, and often makes your, let me just tell you this, if you don't know, your emotions often are not great truth tellers. Anyone agree with that? Your emotions may tell you a side of the story, but it's usually, you know, the fish is usually this big, right? When your emotions are telling the story, your emotions get involved and they overstate things. Anyone ever just reacted to your emotions and found out later, like, gosh, that was a way bigger reaction than I needed to have? We say that in our house, don't we, a lot? Dad says that a lot. That was a way bigger reaction than I needed to have. Okay, so our emotions have these huge reactions. So here's the weird one though. Our mind says, sounds good. here, that's the tricky part. Because the first part, we're like, yeah, that's just humanity. That's just how we live. Where we run into trouble is step three. Our minds look at what's going on inside here. And our minds go, dude, sounds about right. Yep. All right. You're very angry right now. I would be too if I was me. Wait a minute. I am me. And so we start processing that. All right. I am very sad right now. I think I see you're sad. I should be sad too. And our brain starts processing what we're feeling as valuable input, as valid input, as real actionable intel. Okay. Your mind is like, I see what's going on down there. We're on it. Our mind processes these emotions, all right? And it's like our mind doesn't tend to differentiate. And they're like, hey, sounds good to me. Let's start working on that. And so number four, here's where things head south. A narrative starts to form. You start to hear a story in your mind about the processing that your mind has been doing from the emotions. Our mind never says, I don't know if we should listen to these guys. Do you remember last week? When we got all fired, they got all fired up about that down there, and then it turned out to be nothing. Our mind never says that. As smart as we are, we're like, we have short-term memory loss. Didn't they do that last week? Oh, I can't remember. I don't think so. Nope. Sounds like a valid threat to me. All right, let's get worked up about it. And so then your mind gets involved, starts processing. Now you've got this story in your mind of how bad things are. Anyone ever find yourself in near depression because you let a story run in your mind and then you found out that that's not even how it is? I have struggled with that my entire life. It happens to me all the time. And when you can stop that story from happening, you can stop the power of that story in its tracks. And then the fifth thing is we make decisions. All right. So now it gets to the real life. We make decisions about how I raise my kids, about how I'm going to react to you today, about what I'm going to do about work, about what I'm going to do this weekend, about how I'm going to think about my life, about, you know, what job I'm going to do, about where I'm going on my trip, about who I'm going to talk to and not going to talk to. We start making decisions based on this process here. Does anyone see a problem with that? If you do not, you're in the right place today because there's a problem with this. Your emotions, number one, they're not telling you everything that you need to know in an accurate way, and your mind is not getting all the information, and the story is probably not right. And now we're making decisions on that, and it happens all the time. All right? Now let's look at this one. I didn't know how much time I'd have, so I wrote them all out right away. Living according to the Spirit starts with this. We control. Oh, wait a minute. What? You mean I can do that? You mean I don't have to look at everything and listen to everything? You mean I don't have to absorb everyone's opinion? Oh, there's a novel thought. I'm just going to tell you, there's someone in this room today that's never thought of that. Probably 20 of us. Oh, you mean I don't have to listen? I don't have to look at everything. I don't have to be engaged with every single thing. Huh, never thought of that before. And then what I do see with my eyes and ears, number two, that input is taken as part of the story. See, don't falsely misunderstand me and think that I'm telling you that you can't ever hear with your ears or see with your eyes because that's always going to lead you down a straight path. No, what you see with your eyes and ears is meant to be in balance. That's giving you natural input. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I know that that's part of the story. So then three, we look and listen for God's input and his voice to get some more of the rest of the story. Number four, we consider his character and nature. We meditate on him. What is God saying? What is he speaking? What is he doing? And then let's meditate on him. Let's worship a little bit. Let's think about God in this. And then number five, we make decisions in faith with character based on the word of God. That's what it looks like to be walking in the Spirit versus just walking in the flesh. How do I know if I'm walking in the Spirit? This is my last slide, and then I've got one quick story for you. If your decisions are consistently lining up with your thoughts and emotions, you might have a problem. I promise you, and the word of God agrees with me, if every action of yours lines up exactly with what you think and what you feel, you are not walking in the Spirit. Just plain and simple. That's, I don't know how else to say it more bluntly than that. Yeah, I knew that was coming. I thought that, yep, and boy, I got all riled up by that, and so I did this. And I'm not saying that that can't happen and that be okay sometimes, but I've got hundreds of decisions that I make that are contrary to what I'm feeling right now. And they're contrary to my train of thought because the Word of God is just releasing on my mind going, no, this is the way it needs to be. But my thoughts are going, oh, I like it to be like this. And my emotions are going, I want it to be like this. But the Word of God will challenge that. So if you want to know if you're walking in the flesh, your actions are going to line up with your thoughts and emotions. And that's not a good alignment. There better be some challenge to that happening, or your Spirit or the Holy Spirit or the Word of God is not getting any say in your life, because we're going to be at war with our flesh, which is fallen. It's going to want to make flesh decisions. So I want to have Trisha come on up here. And she had a cool story from this week that I heard about. She's going to give a great example of this. So Trisha, take it away. Stay in the zone of the camera.
Even better example than I was thinking, because a lot of your language you were using, I was like, wow, that really fits. Okay, so I shared this morning.
Say it again. We're not quite there. We're close.
So I shared this morning that my grandma, who's 90, was admitted to the hospital last weekend on Saturday with a massive surgery. So I was in that mode of praying and believing for miracles. I told you I celebrated before I even knew what the outcome of the surgery was going to be, right? I was engaging my emotions. I was celebrating what I was seeing was going to happen, right? What I was seeing. So all that comes and she comes out of the surgery. Great. More celebrating. I'm actually taking my imagination and I am like taking it for the good and declaring the good things I'm going to see. All the workers that are going to see the goodness of God because they're going to be amazed at how grandma's doing. All the, you know, instead of going down the what if with my emotions and imagination, I'm building into the goodness of what can happen. So I have this whole thing built up for myself. Like, yes, right? So a couple days go by. She keeps getting better. Greater reports from my sister who's visiting her. And then I get a call. It was like Tuesday morning or something. Few days after she was admitted, and my sister is like frantic, and she's like, I just called to check to make sure she was doing okay, and they told me she got moved to comfort care, which is like the last stages of life, and so do you want to come up with this, see her and say goodbye? And I'm like, what? Like, I mean, just like reeling, like, how, what? And of course, there was some of that, you know, natural, what she just said, coming up and wanting to play with my emotions and go, oh my goodness, this is it. I can't believe it. You know, and just go off the rails. But I had built up that emotion of celebrating and the belief in what was going to happen so much that what she said actually sounded like another language. I'm not even kidding you. Like my spirit was just like, no, like that doesn't line up with this language that has been cultivated in this belief over here, this narrative that was now directing what I was saying. I was like, no. I'm like, so I didn't go with her. I'm like, just keep me updated. Like, this doesn't sound right at all. This is, no, it's not right. So anyway, yeah, I mean, to finish the story, I ended up having peace that whole time. Most of my family was like frantic and, you know, going in the natural. And so it was amazing to me just to kind of see that play out where it was hard to decide to do that because everything I was seeing said otherwise. But anyway, so yeah, it turned out really well. And they ended up having the wrong person. So grandma's still doing great. but yeah, it's just.
But you didn't know that on the front side.
I didn't know that at the beginning. So yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So if we're not building up our spirit, if we're just relying on the flesh side, if we're just relying on input and constantly going by our emotional overreactions, the story that our mind wants to play out because of those reactions, and then making decisions on that, if we've not built up, if we're not walking in the Spirit, saying, no, here's what God's Word tells me to do, and I'm going to choose to do that, and then my emotions can get on board that train, my train of thought can get on board that train, just saying, we have to see, and she had to deal with that part of the story. And she said, you know what? That might be part of the facts, but that falls into those first couple examples that I showed you what can be faulty. She got misinformation. It was sincere, You know, it was actionable. It just was wrong. And it wasn't wrong because it was a lie. It was misinformation. It was not intentional misinformation. It was accidental misinformation. And so that's the danger of just living with our physical senses. They're part of our world. We have to walk in that. So we'll close out here. And so let's pray quick. Lord, I just bless these people today. I pray for just God sightings. I pray that you would change how we see and hear to include and to develop the spiritual side so that we not only see what we see with our physical eyes and hear what we hear with our physical ears, but we hear what you're saying and we see what you're doing. God, give us grace to do that. In your name we pray. Amen.